This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. We hope you are enjoying Labor Day. Today we bring you a rebroadcast of two interviews about projects at Western Michigan University. Coming up, we hear from a faculty member and recent graduate involved in helping the city of Detroit find savings in its transportation facilities. But first, with football season starting, we hear again about a sensor developed by a team of engineers at Western Michigan University that could be used to help determine if a player suffered a concussion. In July, I spoke with Western Michigan University electrical and computer engineering professor Masood Atishbar and doctoral student Banu Baby Narakat. Gentlemen, thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How did this idea get off the ground?
Our lab have been working on sensors, both physical and chemical sensors, and on physical sensors, we've been working on force, strain gauge, and pressure sensor, different technologies, and we have a very strong research on printed technology, which we use that technology for fabricating different devices. And in 2012, we came up with the idea of printed pressure sensor, and that evolved into an impact sensor, so that we thought that, okay, if we'd be able to develop a flexible skin-like pressure sensing system so that we can use it for skin-like sensors, as well as we can, by modifying those, we can use it as an impact sensor, which, like a skin, we can apply it to the helmet and detect any force or impact that it detects or faces. So basically our team developed this impact sensing system for use in the football and hockey helmet, as well as any protective headgear.
And this was part of a competition at the University of Michigan, correct?
So last year in fall 2013, there was an announcement for this competition, and my students showed interest to participate, and the decision was that, okay, let's go with this project, and they formed the team, and Bino can explain a little bit more because they participated in this.
So we were selected in the initial round of interviews, and there were around 300 teams to start off with. And it was a six-month-long competition where they give us a lot of training in the business side, because our team consists of all engineers. And it was a very good experience that we had during the 6 months, and we were able to reach or be in the top 8 finalists in the competition. So that's when we realized that we had a very potential market potential technology or product with us, and we formed this new company called SafeSense Technologies. And we are currently concentrating on manufacturing these printed impact sensing systems to be deployed on helmets for the football players. That's the initial market that we are targeting. But like it was mentioned, there are several other applications also. Anything that has a touch or impact or pressure impacts on the sensor, it can be developed. And all the data that are felt on this pressure sensor can be wirelessly transmitted to a smartphone, and it can be stored on a cloud-based system for retrieval later on. So especially in the field of sports, when doctors want to treat the sports athletes, he would have a complete history of all the impacts that the athletes have faced during the play, and he could treat them accordingly. Currently, we have a completely working prototype for deployment in the field. We are looking or seeking for funding to make around 20 to 25 products that we can hand out to a football team and place it on their helmets, get some feedback from that. And based on that feedback, we're looking to improve the product to make it into a market-ready product.
So explain a little bit more about how this works. There's a sensor, and so if there is some sort of impact, what sort of information would be available to someone on the sideline, say at a football game, that they currently don't get, at least not right away?
So basically, with this system, coaches will receive a real-time actionable information. When one of the players receive a potentially dangerous impact to the head, and the information they receive is the location of where on the skull or the helmet the impact was, and the direction and impact force. So all of these three, the location, direction, and magnitude of the force of the impact, is very important. And right now, concussion happens, impact happens, and basically the coaches rely on the players to self-report injuries. So there is no system in the market which provides these three information. And this system basically is providing a 360-degree view of the whole head or pressure at any point that has been applied. And none of the systems or the one that they are trying to get into market is having this feature.
Yeah, also all this data for about the impact can be transmitted wirelessly to a smartphone, and the coach can decide real time if he needs to pull out a player or not, because most of the times the player tends to continue playing mostly for economical benefits or for namesake. So the coach, or even if it's high school kids, the parents can decide it's time to pull out their kids or the players and take them for a better assessment.
Can you take existing helmets and outfit them with this sensor, or do you need a brand new helmet that would have to accommodate this sensor? Can it be used in the helmets that players use right now?
Yeah, this would be like a second skin on the head, so it can be attached inside the helmet. It's going to be very thin, flexible, and conformable because we're using printed technologies to manufacture this sensing system. So it would be just an add-on to the current helmets.
We've been talking about football. Are there some other applications for this, other sports or maybe even other activities where, assuming someone has the potential for blunt force to the head, that this could measure that as well?
Other sports like hockey is another thing that there is. Concussion is very important.
Yeah, and recently we also had some people contacting us when they heard about our product. They were interested in putting it in the helmets for NASCAR racing drivers to study the impacts that they feel. And one other important area of application is in the military, where it can be deployed on the helmets of soldiers, and it would be capable of measuring the blast pressure waves from a bomb or an IED, and that would really help the treatment of soldiers for concussions.
Anything where someone has a helmet. Is that fair to say if someone's got a helmet, you can use this sensor?
That's right. It can be on the clothes as well, so that in the gear the soldier wears, the blast pressure on the body can detect it too. But usually head is more important.
So as you try to move now to being able to market this, what sort of things do you need to do research-wise? What don't you know right now that you still need to find out?
We have a proof-of-concept lab-based device which is detecting and it's working. We need to have information from the field to make sure that in the field also it provides the actionable information. So we need to have real-time data of different scenarios and making sure that the algorithm that we have for the processing the information that comes from the sensors are appropriate and they act timely.
Now, you have started a company, SafeSense Technologies. Where would you say this company is at in terms of its development?
Right now, the company is only 4 months old. We have registered and formed this company in February of 2014. So, like we said, what we currently have is the lab working prototype, and we are currently seeking for some funding. We are looking at federal funding agencies as well as angel investors or any kind of potential parties who are interested. We are also looking for material or R&D collaborators as well to see if we can collaborate with some companies for materials or development projects related to this.
To continue to improve the performance of the system so that still we are working on development R&D too, because the system that we have, we are continuously looking to see if any component of that we can make it more efficient.
And one other thing is, since these systems measure impact, we need to make sure from the R&D side that the materials that we use are durable enough for multiple hits. So that's another thing that we need to concentrate on from the research and development area.
And is that just sort of repetitive testing to put something through the trial so many times to make sure it still is working as well after 100 hits or 150 as it was after one?
Yeah, that's right. Currently, we've tested that in the lab scenario. We have done measurements for at least 10,000 cycles for the pressure sensor, and we've not seen a lot of variation. But that's going to be different when you put it into a helmet and you put it out into a field and you get a real impact. So that's what we need to find out next.
Are there people out there, groups, perhaps teams, which are interested in getting in on this, perhaps and assisting you in trying to see if it is ready to go?
Yeah, we have actually talked to the athletic coach at Western Michigan University, and he has shown interest in providing support when we are ready with the systems to try it out on the football. And also the hockey team has also approached, and they have said that they are willing to use it for a trial and give us some feedback on what the performance of the system is.
In terms of other R&D groups, yes, we are in the process. We are in process of legality and NDA non-disclosure agreement between the people.
There's some legalities that go on.
Yes. Yeah.
Both of you come at this from an engineering background, correct?
Yes. Yes.
As you move forward now, are you having to learn some things about marketing and business and investing and those sort of things if you're really going to make this go?
Yeah, that's right. Like I said, the complete team is a group of engineers, and we had no idea about the business or marketing side, and even some of the terms that they use were completely new for us. So the competition that we had at University of Michigan gave us a lot of training, and we learned a lot. And currently, during the summer, we are working with the business, Hayworth College of Business at Western Michigan University, where they have a program called Starting Gate. It's for one semester long, and they've selected us into the program, and they're currently training us in different aspects of the business learning scenarios. And I think we're learning a lot of new things in that, and we are trying to move forward.
That's its own education.
Yes,
as well,
that's right.
In terms of developing a helmet sensor.
Yeah.
What's your hope going forward that for this? I mean, do you see it becoming widely used, or is that what you're thinking is possible if the testing continues to show that this is viable?
Yes, we have. We believe that we have a good chance of being able to get a good portion of the market share if we be able to raise enough funding and be on time before other competition saturate the market.
Do you know of competition out there? Are there other places working on similar type of products?
Yeah, we have identified our competition who have attempted to make pressure sensing on helmets, but none of the products give the features that we are currently offering on our product, especially the 3D mapping of the impact, as well as the magnitude-based reporting where our system would be able to tell you exactly how much of force was applied. All the other systems would just have an LED light that turns up and tells you that an impact was felt or not, but it wouldn't tell you how much and the exact location.
Is this a field of great interest right now? Probably a lot of people getting into it because there is so much concern about concussions, head injuries, those sort of things. Is that driving a lot of other people to take a look at the technology?
In any conference or meeting that we attend, we see that new players are jumping into this game.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Western Michigan University Professor of Electrical and Computer Engineering Masood Atishbar and doctoral student Binu Baby Narakot spoke in July about the helmet sensor, which can help determine if a football player has suffered a concussion. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Two teams from Western Michigan University worked with the city of Detroit this year to help find savings in the city's transportation operations. They came up with a plan that could save up to $2 million a year. The interview originally aired in August. Ken Jones is an instructor of integrated supply in Western's Haworth College of Business. Thank you very much for being here.
Good morning. Thank you.
And Hannah Downs is a recent graduate who was also part of the project. Hannah, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Good morning.
So let's begin with how Western Michigan University got involved in this project for the city of Detroit. Ken?
It was a little bit by happenstance, but we have a Western Michigan University employee in the development office, a gentleman by the name of Tom Egan, who's based out of the east side of the state. And he came across a very timely Cranes article that indicated that the mayor, Mike Dugan, over there in Detroit, did a presentation with industry over there. And he made this call out to industry to talk about the need for integration, the need to work together to solve common problems for the community. And he made a very specific reach out to the Metro Detroit area industry and academic institutions over there to help them help themselves in the area of finding operational improvements, process efficiencies. His statements were kind of along the lines of, hey, we know industry knows how to solve problems. We know academia knows how to solve problems. Work with us and help us become the city that we used to be, a world-class city. Help us take the city to that next level where we can provide better services to our citizens and make it just a more prosperous community for everyone, including business and academia.
And so, Hannah, how did you get involved as a student or a recent graduate?
Yeah, I was actually approached by Ken with the opportunity, knowing that I was from the east side and had a lot of pride in Detroit and just being from Michigan. He thought this would be a great project for me to get involved with. And it happened that I had some time off between starting my job at General Motors and graduating at Western. So I was able to get involved with the projects and see them all the way through, and it was very exciting.
So tell us about what savings were found for the city of Detroit, and what does this mean going forward?
Both projects, again, kind of evolved out of a new initiative we've launched here at Western Michigan University. We call our efforts Bronco Force Solutions Team. So anytime an organization or a company has a problem in the area of operations and supply chain management, they can reach out to us, and we can configure a team of students and faculty and even industry partners or alumni to work to solve problems in the area of operations and supply chain. So in our discussions with the city, we worked with the mayor's office, and they were very excited about this Bronco Force Solutions Team concept. And they said, hey, we have 18 different projects that are on the table that need help. Would you be willing to provide two teams worth of expertise in the area of vehicle maintenance and repair? And we said, absolutely. We're well equipped through our education and professional backgrounds, at least in my case, to be able to help. And what do you have in mind? So they said, well, we have a general services division that has now what's becoming a single garage. It's called the Russell Ferry Garage in pretty much downtown Detroit. And they are in the process of consolidating operations around the city. They are responsible for maintaining 2,600 vehicles, everything from, in today's scenario, garbage trucks to basic fleet vehicles, Ford Focus, Chevy Cobalt, SUVs, fire trucks, ambulances. So it's just a wide mix of things. And then they said, we do have, obviously, our DDOT, Detroit Department of Transportation entity. And, you know, certainly they provide the bus service in the city of Detroit. They have similar needs. We have issues with repair turnaround times. We have issues with parts availability. We have issues with efficiency and productivity. Can you help us there as well? And we said, absolutely. So we configured two teams. Some of the findings, quite frankly, were very systemic. You know, they don't have the most efficient procurement process today for acquiring parts. The way they manage parts in the facility, again, has opportunities for improvement. The way vehicles are scheduled for repair and maintenance has opportunities for improvement as well. So we really took a look at that total system that got a vehicle off the street into a repair and maintenance facility. And then from there, we took a look at turning things around as quickly as we possibly could. And it's a multi-phased project. We've hit in my estimation, the first phase of about a four-phase, two-year complete overhaul of these systems. So as you can imagine, we identified some low-hanging fruit in the area of parts availability and process improvement that we believe will improve parts availability from current levels of about 50% to improved levels of 95% based on one pilot that we performed. And we also see a tremendous opportunity in the way of how vehicles are actually maintained within the facility. We have a situation today where a bus, as an example, is put up on a hoist, and a repair mechanic working on that bus has to spend up to 30% of their time in a day moving away from that bus to go get parts, to go get equipment, tools, that type of thing. So we really worked with DDOT in this case to say, let's bring the system to you. Let's treat this bus as a surgeon would treat a patient during an emergency procedure. You know, let's have everything ready for you so we can focus in on turning around vehicles. And we're estimating just through that process alone, we'll see anywhere from about a 30 to 40% improvement. Again, there are other systems things that we've looked at. We continue to work with the city of Detroit today on the next phases of these projects, and we just see tremendous savings beyond what we've initially identified. And what we've initially identified in what I would call maybe a 60 to 90 day realization is anywhere from about $500,000 to $1 million savings for not only DDOT, but also the General Services Division, Russell Ferry Garage as well.
Did this give you some insight into how a big city, which is this large, sprawling entity, how that works, efficiently, inefficiently, otherwise?
It absolutely does. And Hannah, you may want to comment on this as well. But I guess from my perspective, what I was nicely surprised to see is, quite frankly, the people we worked with in the city of Detroit are unbelievably passionate about what they do. They are very professional. They completely embraced us and brought us into their family in terms of trying to make themselves more efficient and effective in what they do. They believe in their mission to support the citizens of the city of Detroit and the greater metro area, quite frankly. And so it was an instance where it was clear to me that they have the right ground. They have the right culture for improvement. What they lack, quite frankly, is the investment in systems, in training, in attention. And so what we tried to do is really provide a plan for how we get that training. What things do we prioritize? How do we implement things? What can we utilize that you already have as a resource within the city of Detroit? Let's just maybe apply it to different departments or different areas. So for me, it was very enlightening. You know, I have tremendous faith in what the city of Detroit is going to do moving forward. It is getting better, and I think that's the story that we need to capture here that oftentimes maybe isn't captured in the national media.
Hannah, can you tell us about some things you observed kind of getting to see the city of Detroit firsthand?
Sure. You know, just to piggyback off what Ken was even saying about the pride and, you know, just the passion that these individuals have for getting the city back on its feet. And as I mentioned earlier, I kind of share that same pride being from the east side of the state and now working in Detroit downtown. You really want it to come back. And I think that was really exciting to see. And being there to help them, and they really full-heartedly wanted our advice and wanted to hear what we had to say and the things that we could work out together. So I thought that was really great.
Are there new initiatives? Ken, you mentioned that work is still going on with the city of Detroit. So what happens going forward?
Well, I think going forward, again, everyone recognized that this is just a stop on a very wonderful train journey in the area of continuous improvement. So the city of Detroit has asked us to stay on in a consultative capacity to really help realize the project priorities and implementation plans that we built together. So that's something we said absolutely we're willing to do. So I think now we're moving into the phases of execution and implementation. We spent a lot of time in the first 8 weeks performing best practice benchmarking of other municipalities. We did some research, if you will. We performed some baseline analysis using kind of the tools that were taught in our operations and supply chain program, lean manufacturing techniques, looked at productivity, efficiency, asset utilization. Now we're really executing the game plan that we built. So it's exciting. I'm heading over there tomorrow to meet with the DDOT team, the actual director, Dan Dirks, who we worked with quite a bit. And he is in the process of rolling out our findings and also the initiatives moving forward to the entire DDOT personnel base. So this would include administrators, bus operators, repair mechanics, and anyone associated with the total bus system there. So we're going to be a part of that series of kickoff meetings, talking to everybody in their system.
Hannah, can you tell me if there were things that surprised you about Detroit, positively, negatively, or otherwise, based on the work that you did over this several-week span?
The first meeting we attended, we weren't really sure what we were going to expect. We didn't have much going into it. We just knew a few little details here. What surprised me the most was how many people were willing to come out and volunteer their time. As Ken mentioned, there were 18 projects available. All 18 of those projects were being worked on by volunteers, with Deloitte heading the project management team as a volunteer as well. I think that was kind of actually inspirational that so many people believe in this city. Honestly, for the negatives, there wasn't much to report on. I mean, things that you would find anywhere. You know, there's some people might not cooperate. There might be a little glitch in the culture. But it was all things that we felt that we could work through as a team. And our core teams were really devoted to making changes and moving in the right direction.
Ken, were there any surprises for you that left an impression about the city of Detroit?
Yeah, again, I think I would echo Hannah's sentiments. I was just nicely surprised. If you just focus in on maybe some of the national media attention, you don't have the best perspective. And I lived in the Metro Detroit area in the 1990s, and I knew what the upside was there. But I guess it exceeded my expectations in terms of just, you know, the city's gone through a year-long bankruptcy and, quite frankly, a significant organizational decline prior to that as a function of just monies drying up. And to see the passion that was still there, the fire that was still in the belly of a lot of the organizations, the pride that they had, I've never seen an organization do so much with so little in my entire life. It was really refreshing. And I've worked with about a half dozen Fortune 500 companies, and I've done a lot of consulting over the last 10 or 12 years, and I was just really nicely surprised. So now I think there's a very intense focus, and resources are going to come to the city, and they're going to be prioritized on the right things, and we're going to have metrics to capture how effective we are, and we're going to have processes to ensure that we're sustaining these initiatives, and I'm really, really excited to see what comes out. But again, on the downside, typical organizational stuff. I would agree with Hannah. The city of Detroit is not unlike a larger corporation. There are cultural issues. There are management and leadership issues. There are issues with having goals and objectives that don't really have a mechanism to get translated into action and results. So we're going to stay on to make sure that happens. That's probably the most critical thing here at this point. We know what the game plan is. We just have to execute it almost like a sports team.
Ken and Hannah, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Ken Jones is an instructor of integrated supply in Western Michigan University's Haworth College of Business. Hannah Downs is a recent Western graduate. The interview about finding savings in Detroit's transportation operations originally aired in early August. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.